The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome, everyone, to a very, very festive edition of the EvoStick NPL Show.
Ho, ho, ho!
You join us here at the Heat and Hops in Stockport for December's edition of the EvoStick Northern Premier League Show.
Hang on, the what? The Heat and
Hops? Sorry, the award-winning Heat and Hops. There's always something I get wrong. I've been studying all week.
In Heat and Chapel, Stockport.
This is ridiculous.
It's near Reddish.
Although Wikipedia says this could be part of Denton as well, technically. So.
What?
No, no.
Wikipedia
what?
Says
what?
Wikipedia isn't trusted.
James, I don't agree with anything he needs to say, but it's not Denton.
Reddish and Denton, the border is basically only 2.5 miles from here. This used to be actually known as Heaton Reddish. Because there was 5 Heatons many years ago. Yes.
Well, see, so I've got now,
interesting quiz.
Denton.
Interesting quiz happened on the way here with the taxi driver who said to me, "How can you name all the Heatons?"
Yeah.
And I went, "Heaton Moor, Heaton Norris, Heaton Chapel,
Paul Heaton,
and Heaton Park."
Is that what you said? Because you live at the borders of Heaton Mersey.
Well, no, I was going to check my phone. I was going to check the phone, and the guy got really angry with me. And I went, "Well, okay, all right, then. I don't want any trouble."
Why did he get annoyed with you?
Because he's doing a quiz. And Ben's checking his phone like he probably does.
No, it wasn't a quiz. It was a journey from A to B in a taxi.
He was doing a quiz with you, Ben, and you must abide by the rules of the quiz. And this is how you won this quiz the other night, I dare say. By going to the box at half time going, he won the opening 1979. Was it Sandy Lyle? I don't know.
It was the Mancunian pitcher round that won it for us, by the way. Yeah, we smashed it.
The team behind us got a little bit confused. They thought the great big lovely obelisk in Heaton Park was Manchester Airport.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, they thought the tower in Heaton Park was Manchester Airport, and therefore their comedy round, which they didn't realise was their pitcher round. It was hilarious. And very funny. We were only 6 points in after 2 rounds, and then we got actually every single question right bar one for the rest of it, and won £250 worth of vouchers. Amazon vouchers. Oh, and free beer all night.
Yeah, all night.
Everyone got free beer all
cracking
night.
Do.
All of us.
Thanks for being invited.
You're welcome, lads. Anyway, welcome.
Well, I did try to get you invited, but I was told by Ben, "That's why I don't do five-a-side." He said, "That's why I don't do five-a-side. You're trying to get other people involved. This is an FC thing." I went, "Come on, he's part of FC."
I also said, if 26-0 wanted to have a team,
Luke.
Round the table, we've got Berkey from Radio Manchester and 26-0.
I'm changing my name, actually, Ben.
Oh, what, from Ian Burke to Berkey?
No, I'm now becoming Ian Burke. I'm going serious.
Okay.
I'm going to shave
everything. Coming to a LinkedIn page near you. Ian Burke, broadcaster. And we've got Swampy here from the Non-League Football Show on Audio Boom.
Good afternoon, good evening, gentlemen, and Ben, and also FC Radio as well. I do that on occasion.
And FC Radio. And yeah. James Hayes is here from the league, no less.
Good evening.
There have been some apologies. We are recording this on Tuesday night. That means Altrincham are playing Warrington in a game of football. So later in the show, we'll do a disclaimer and find out who actually won.
A very important game of football.
If we're still here by the time that game's finished, Ben.
No, I'm going to do it with Magic of Radio.
Oh, the Magic
should we do it now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well done. Great game.
Great result.
We should say a big congratulations to Warrington Town. And a big commiserations to Altrincham. And a big good luck in the next round against Ebbsfleet. Stop interrupting. This won't work in the edit if you're talking on me. A big good luck against Ebbsfleet in the next round.
And those two sending offs and that penalty was absolutely horrendous.
That's never going to work. It's going to be smooth, right?
Imagine if it was.
It's going to be.
Imagine if that's true.
Radio Robbins did a fantastic job tonight, didn't they?
They did fair play to Flinney, actually, and Dave Stringer, he was down to. Used to be Robbie Williams' farm tutor. Yeah. You know?
And who'd have thought Toby would have done that tonight as well?
God almighty, I know.
And the worst thing about it is the only four people that aren't there are us doing this show here. We could have done it there.
Well, I thought we were going to do it there, but then I thought, no, we've got a commitment to the Heat and Hops. We've booked the room out.
No, it's,
yeah. Well, the first year we're doing the Christmas special at the what's it called?
Magnet. Yeah. We did.
Did we tell the Magnet we weren't coming this year? Should we let them know? No? Okay. So a big congratulations to Warrington Town for making it through to the next round. Joining them in the next round will be Marine a fantastic result this against Charlie at the weekend. And well, what can you say? I mean, we said last week on the show that if they go at them like they did against FC United, they'd trouble Charlie.
Well, they more than troubled them. They tated them, didn't they? I mean, they went behind after a couple of minutes. Matty Hughes put Charlie in front. Everyone's sort of sitting back going, oh, well, here we go. Charlie through to the last 32. Weren't to be. Marine gets straight back into it, don't they? 15 minutes gone or whatever. And then Danny Mitchell, who's been great for him this season, puts the icing on the cake in injury time. Great, great result for Marine. And they've taken two scalps from clubs in higher divisions. It makes you wonder why they don't do it in the league. Because we know they're capable.
They've started. They've pulled out the odd result, haven't they? Since the FC result.
They have. But Tommy's got them fired up, haven't he, for the cup games. And fair play with him. I want them to go further. Of course I want them to go further. But it's another long trip, isn't it?
It's not a long trip. It's Dover away. It's the longest trip they'll ever have in football, primarily. look, they're on the day. You talk about individual players... and their captain really has been showing great quality, not only leading the line well but leading his team into battle against, you know, a Chorley team we all know are a very, very good footballing team,
a lot of quality there,
and they weren't playing a second string. They were playing a good quality team, because Chorley wanted to go through as well, and he's got it right again. He's got into them, got into the ribs. They've worked hard, and as his kipper, as you say, scores. So the icing on the cake, and fair play to them. And you know, Dover we know over the last two or three seasons have been, you know, prevalent on television through the FA Cup itself,
and they've come on leaps and bounds themselves.
And it will be a cracking game. It's going to be a hard task. They'll go down there maybe a day or two before you'd expect.
They have to, don't they? Because that's the thing. I mean, we played Brighton and Lowestoft, and it is advisable because you just absolutely crackers when you
go. I don't think it's actually physically impossible to actually get to the ground in time for a 3 o'clock kickoff, unless you leave on a Friday. So if you leave on a Thursday, they get there for Friday, still knackered, and then basically they have half a day off, and then they, you know, look, he knows what to do. It's going to be a good exercise for them.
Congratulations to Marine, thoroughly deserved. Also through to the next round is Stourbridge. And we were debating last week with Adam Parks. We had him on from Black Country Radio, and there is a mood about Stourbridge. But like we said, they're 9 points off the playoffs, and they've got 3 games in hand.
Did Adam actually listen back to the show and listen to what I said last week as well?
Way up.
With the fact that, again, I got all 5 results bang on, just to let you make you aware.
You know what? Really? Well, no, he did say that. Oh, you did say there'd be a replay, didn't you?
I said there'd be a replay, and the one team that might struggle is the one that did struggle, but we'll come back to that in a second. But again, Stourbridge had a team that know how to do cup upsets, and they've done it yet again. Thing is, Leamington are a similar sort of level, as far as I'm aware, in the National League North at the moment, are struggling
The National League North's an interesting one, because I don't think anyone apart from Northover United, they're all capable, aren't they, of pulling out a shock or two.
It's a very, very tough division, the National League North, in fairness. Stourbridge, it wasn't a surprise for me, and I don't think it was surprising. I know, James, you've predicted all 5, but I think out of all 5 that might be the easiest one to predict, because we know their pedigree in FA competitions. Yeah. They're not doing particularly brilliantly in the league, but with only 9 points with 3 games in hand, actually, if you think about it in that respect, they're doing very, very well.
The thing is,
and they are a team that come late on in the season, and they'll be right up there. Yeah. And it's been, this is what, 4 seasons now?
Yeah.
Of consistently doing well in FA competitions, and then really going for it in the league as well, and just missing out. And I'm sure if I listened to an interview with Brian Clough from
many moons ago,
and he turned around and he said, and the question was, if FA Cup, European Cup, European Cup Winners' Cup, World Cup Championship, whatever it is, or the league, which one would you go for? And he goes, I would give everyone up tomorrow for the league. Stourbridge themselves would want to get promoted. But they are where they are, they are chasing things on 3 or 4 fronts.
Thing is, though, they went into this game with 3 straight defeats, as again, similar to Leamington when recording the show last week, we were doing the research at the same time.
Yeah.
So again...
not at the same time, James,
but
before the show.
During the show.
Yeah, during the... Well,
with them big cards at Ben shows, say this, say this.
They're desperate to play against Kidderminster, aren't they?
Exactly.
In the conference now.
Well, of course he would be, yeah.
Absolutely desperate.
Well, I mean, you know, Levington, in fairness, I mean, again, it's...
Well, they used to play each other in the Southern League all the time. Yeah, they had exactly. a great rivalry, I mean, in that league.
And Levington themselves, you know, they came up last season from the Southern Division, and they did superbly well last season, and they're a tough team to beat. So it was a very good result for them.
And in the next...
It weren't surprising that they won. The teams at the top of the Evo-Stick Premier Division are better than the bottom half dozen sides of Sol in the Conference North.
Are we 13th, 14th? We're in that bracket, aren't we?
I'm absolutely not.
We can have that debate another time.
Next season.
So Stourbridge in the next round, we'll have Billericay away, and we'll have more on that in January. We'll have more on that in January.
It's an issue. Stourbridge going to Billericay. It will be a tough test for Stourbridge at Billericay. Billericay have gone from what in the last two or three seasons from about 150 people to 3,000 people watching.
Also through, and this is one of the results of the round, as we said, Workington beating Hartlepool United. Scott Allinson getting an 84th minute winner against Hartlepool United. I say it's a surprise.
It is
a surprise. Is it a surprise?
Yeah,
it's a surprise.
Is it a surprise?
It, I think, because then just going back to what I said last week, Hartlepool are going to have to get used to the fact they're playing a good, strong, physical side, but they're not used to that sort of situation. And again, 84th minute, Workington ground them down from what I've been reading reports on and made it work for them. They deserved a win because of that. And that's, at the end of the day, you're playing a team two divisions higher. So Workington have absolutely done a magnificent job there.
Absolutely. The thing is, Hartlepool, similar to County when they moved into non-league football, I actually think that Tranmere, they've had this same culture shock and Leighton Orient, so they've kind of not realised that they're in non-league football yet, and they've not adjusted to it at all.
That's what we were saying last week. It's like, welcome to non-league, here's the West Coast of Cumbria in December.
Yeah. There'll be Hartlepool fans of similar vintage to Swampy, of course, who'll remember playing Workington in the league. So, you know, it's a place they'll have been before, a lot of them.
The Workington story we know for over many, many years now. Workington have been in the semi-pro game for quite a number of years now. Yeah. Hartlepool are new to it, and I don't think it was a huge shock or surprise, because a lot of these clubs that have come down from the league to the National League are absolutely desperate to stay at least in the National League, so therefore they're setting their sights on league survival opposed to anything else.
The last thing you want is to become County or York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we got to that stage where the competition between certain teams. I don't believe there's a huge difference between, and I'll be open and honest with you, Northern Premier Division going even as far as the National League. The only difference at the moment really that we have is professionalism, i.e. clubs that are full time. If the semi-pro game will survive, it's based upon semi-professional football. We're going down a different route at this moment in time, where everyone's becoming professional, but the likes of Workington that are semi-pro beating a Hartlepool team that are full time, then just shows that you can compete and you can get good results against these teams.
It was a really nice interview last week with John McKay, I thought, that Workington chairman, because he was, you know, talking about the getting civic pride and county pride in the squad, making sure that they're all locally based, and you
well,
know,
you've got to be, yeah.
In fairness, is a very, very difficult thing.
Of course, it is. Yeah.
And the reason why
look at Barrow over the years.
Barrow at the moment,
best non-league team in Manchester.
Well, Rochdale.
They've gone through to the next round. They're going to be playing either. We'll know this by the time this show goes out. They'll be playing Western Supermare in the next round. That'll be seamless. Seamless.
And Chesham, and both teams.
Yep.
Tough opposition.
But the entire round
that we're looking at this moment in time is that we're actually, the north is pitting itself against the south, to the south and southwest and southeast,
wow.
And then right now. So we're actually seeing what the gulf is and what the difference is, because everyone's quite similarly matched.
No,
he's got a point, because there's only one side that's a north side against a north side. The rest are anyway, the north against the south.
Yeah, just I was going to say,
Workington have gone through to the next round and they're still in the playoff positions. So that's a good weekend for Workington. Unfortunately, it wasn't all good news. Commiserations to Lancaster City. I listened to it on Live Sports, actually, and they gave it a good go against Stockport County.
I think it was just that one silly mistake, and I think everyone knows the one talking about.
Silly mistake?
Yeah, no, there was one mistake during the game where I think Stockforth was allowed straight through onto an open net, and that pretty much killed
in
the game off.
In fairness, I mean, I've watched the extended highlights. I listened to it as well, in fairness. It was a game from both team of errors. It was, in certain points, and I'll be honest with you, it was quite comical. It looked, what Lancaster did really, really well to a degree, for the first half of the game, took Stockport County down to their level. To be honest, County in the second half were under the cosh hugely. Lancaster gave him, I mean, and in fairness to Jim Gannon, he said he knew they were going to be the game. That's why he played a very, very strong team. 3-1 was flattering because they hit the post, they had opportunities. There was a very very dodgy penalty given during the game. We couldn't quite understand why the penalty was given, and Lancaster were unlucky. The pitch played a huge part in the game. We look at the billions and billions of pounds in this football in the UK, and we're looking at football clubs that are having to rely on volunteers week in, week out to make pitches accessible for football. And in fairness, a lot of these pitches are as good as Hough End. And if we want in the UK, or in England specifically, to have a team that competes in World Cups, it has to start at grassroots level all the way through to make sure that we have the best pitches. We've got more money than anyone else in the world.
Weren't you anti-3G?
Usually. Summer
football for youth football.
No. Youth football, sorry.
I think Berkey's hit it absolutely correly.
What
happened then? Did I black out?
The one thing you and I have always agreed on is if we're not going to have an investment of millions of pounds into grassroots football and into Northern Prem and slightly below and above, so pitches and qualities there, you know, and the money for those billionaires is filtered down, then Burke is quite right. We need to have summer football. If they can filter it down, we don't need summer football, but I don't think the money will ever come down, so therefore summer football is a must to improve football in the UK.
Gentle reminder, because James is with me, Oldham Rugby League play in the summer, don't they?
Yes.
And what did they do to Bowerfell? Just remind me.
It was
June, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
it's like old. There is no such thing as summer.
Well, let's be honest, we'll see with Oldham Rugby next year when they go play 3G in the summer see what happens.
Anyway, so that's the FA Trophy. A big congratulations to Stourbridge, Workington, Marine, and a other, which at time recording we don't know. But 100%. By the magic of radio, I can exclusively reveal, well done to
Warrington Town
on making it through to the second round.
What score is it at half time? Is it half time yet?
No, it's 5 minutes gone.
Just kicked off.
No goals.
So that's the FA Trophy. We'll be covering that off later in January. But after the break, we're going to be looking at the league. Later on, I should say as well, we are also going to touch upon Division 1 North and Division 1 South. And we're going to have the midterm predictions.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in the award-winning Stockport for December's edition of the award-winning EvoStick. Don't interrupt, EvoStick MPL show.
I don't think Stockport's award-winning. I think
it has won awards.
It has, yes.
Stockport in Bloom, for example, at some point. Best Hat Museum, 1998.
There were actually over 50 hat emporiums.
But you can say museums.
For many, many years in the old Stockport area.
Ian Burke, broadcaster, is here.
Berkey will do this far.
Oh, okay. No. Berkey's here. Swampy's here from the Non-League Show and FC Radio.
Thanks very much.
And James Hayes, a big welcome to the show, James. So, it's very shortly we're going to be getting our predictions for all three divisions, but we are going to be looking. Great. We are going to be looking primarily now at the top of the Premier Division. It's weird, since I've got ill, I've suddenly started using all complicated words. Not many league matches this past weekend. There were two, and two shock results, would you say? Buxton beating Grantham and Shaw Lane dropping 2 points against Witten.
But Buxton, they've been on a roller coaster for quite a while now. They can win, they can pick up 3 points from nowhere, but then you can lose the next two or three. And that's Buxton's season off at the moment, I reckon.
Was it this show? Was it this show, or was it one of the weekly shows that somebody said Buxton had done? It's this show. It was probably you. And they're eighth all of a sudden. What win? That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
no, I'm not questioning your logic. I'm saying eighth.
They were done. I thought Buxton would want to have been in a better position than they are. Cully on 22 games, 33 points, and to beat Grantham, you know, who are
at Grantham.
At Grantham, it is a massive upset.
It's not. It's a wise one. Both teams are better away from home. Buxton go to Grantham. It's not expected that they'd win there. It's expected it's going to be a tight game. But Grantham, they're better away from the Kesteven Stadium. Buxton are better away from Silverlands. It's par for the course. Yeah, result for me, I think.
I mean, Grantham will see it as three points drops because they would have gone drop top of the table that as well.
Buxton on the day are a very, very good team. Grantham are a form team, 41 points from 23 games, scoring lots of goals.
They've got the top goal scorer.
And, you know, and Lee Shaw has been scoring goals, all from open play as well, not set pieces, not corners, or not penalties or anything like that. Or from corners.
Direct from corners, yeah.
He'll keep that in.
I mean, he's good.
He'll keep that in now, you know, you knew that. He'll keep that in. I still think it's a massive upset.
I mean,
you'd not expect Buxton to go there and win the game.
Isn't it the fact as well that Liam Hardy got the goal so early on in the game? There's plenty of time for Grantham to play their fast-paced, quick, slick football, and it just didn't happen to them, did it?
But the thing is, Grantham at home, they gave up the only point of the season for Stately Bridge on their travels. They've got this ricking of at home for some reason. I mean, they're still doing pretty good at home. I mean, they've won.
You're going to have so many people get
they've won them. 6 out of 11. They've won 6 out of 11 at home, which is decent. You know, it's fine. But they've lost 4 as well. And they're a team who don't draw games. This is what I like about Grantham. They go for it. They really go for it. If they're going to win, they're going to win. But if they're going to lose, well,
they lose by one goal.
And the Shaw Lane.
They go for it. No, that's not what I mean, Swampy. If they lose, they lose going for it.
And
have you watched the highlights? Have you seen the game itself?
I have.
And it was interesting. And
was it interesting?
Well, they came out of the game believing that they could have won the game in the end, and it just wasn't for them. Great result for Buxton, don't get me wrong, and it's a tremendous result for Buxton. But I still think if you're a coupon type of person, that's the kind of only coupon you go. Grantham at home, are you going to do that?
I am, and I looked at it and went, no, I'm not going to bet on that.
The Shaw Lane result, that's an interesting one as well, because Shaw Lane went 1-0 up and then Witten Albion get a late equaliser.
That is more of a surprise.
It's just a fact as well, based on Shaw Lane's last outing as well.
That 5-0. 5-0,
yeah.
Warrington, yeah, of course. Thing is, you've got a new manager in there as well, and it was only the second time they failed to win at home this season. So it's a minor blip, this, but at the same time, Witten, they're just coming round again. They had a little bit of a blip themselves, and they're steadying the ship at the moment. And it's a fantastic result, no question about it, that for Witten Albion. And our pal Owen Dale getting the equaliser late on, we know he's going to do well there, and he has been from the reports I've been hearing. He's been having a very good long spell.
There was only two games that survived the weather at the weekend in the Premier Division, so big congratulations to both Grantham and Shaw Lane. A bit hopeful for this weekend. It's gone a bit milder the last 24 hours.
Apart from there might be the odd waterlogged pitch, but I think overall it should
be. I think the only thing that may come in is a bit of fog.
Mm. Absolutely.
Fog may be the problem.
So at this stage, I'm going to just ask you for for your predictions, essentially. It's mid-term.
Yes.
Altrincham are out in front at the moment. Is it Altrincham's now to lose?
No.
Oh.
Christmas is going to be the deciding factor at this moment in time.
I think what we can say certainly is that even though Altrincham had a very, well, we all believe, quite a strange start to the season,
yeah,
we now know where they are and we believe that's where they should be. They haven't pushed away. All those clubs around them have stuck right.
That was the question we asked last week.
Well, that's
that was a really, really good Christmas coming up. We don't know until January 2nd, January 3rd,
yeah,
where this division is going, because there's so many games coming thick, yeah, and fast. Altrincham against Matlock, I fully expect Altrincham to win the game.
But then again, Matlock have had a little mini upsurge. No,
I still believe Altrincham at home are very, very tough to beat on a really good surface and a great footballing team as they are. But what I do believe is that it's so good to see those Rudders and Riders staying so close to them.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this division excellent. And Berkey's got a really good point to make, I believe.
Well, Swampy, the reason they haven't pushed away is because Alti were playing catch-up to begin with. Because of that start they had at the top of the season, if they'd have started off the way they're going now, they'd be 10 points clear.
But they're not, so we can't talk about it,
can we? No, I know, but what I'm saying is,
if Grantham's home form was better, they would be 10 points clear.
That's ifs and buts, Berkey.
Listen,
come on.
Alti have lost three times. I don't think they're going to lose more than six times throughout the whole campaign, which is why I think Grantham, they're actually going to drop out.
The key the game for Altrincham.
Grantham will drop out of the playoffs. They'll lose too many games. They've lost eight already. Can you imagine a team getting in the playoffs losing 16 games? A third, more than a third.
What's the game on Boxing Day involving Grantham Town? Shaw Lane away.
I do believe Altrincham, if they continue their ways, should be the team that we've all the beginning of the season. So we can't now say, oh, I'm choosing that team. The big surprise for me this season has been Grantham. Great surprise. And if they can keep hold of Shaw, their goal scoring, you know, top goal scoring prowess player.
And they should do to the end of the season.
If they keep hold of him, they're going to be right up there. And there are other teams in and around Warrington. I mean, there was a big marker a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? The 5-0. That was a big marker in the game.
Then Shaw Lane draw Witten against Witten. Yeah.
And you're seeing it to and fro. It's not really going to show itself until at least
April,
after Christmas, this division. The Premier League, yeah, after April, we know. But we already know the Premier League's probably been won already. But the same token, this division, after Christmas, there's so many great games coming up. It's going to be a real opportunity for us to really put our nails to the mast and say, who we really believe is going to win the league.
You're literally just going to say the point. You said what the point I was going to say. Outside the Premier League, Championship, everything, this is like one of the closest leagues in the world at this moment in time.
In the world.
Well, what about the conference? That's quite
no, even conference.
No team in the conference.
But the thing is this, so I just realised as well.
There's no such thing as a conference, it's National League.
Actually, you're wrong. It's the conference trading as the National League, so it's still the conference.
But the thing is this, so I just realised Altrincham and Shaw Lane have got to play twice because both league games got called off, didn't they? And they've not been rearranged yet.
So. Let's just talk about the other teams around the periphery. I mean, Workington, we've discussed it, they've put themselves well in the mix, yeah, come out of nowhere, essentially.
Need to pick up away, though.
Yeah,
two away games.
But is it now just a case of Farsley, if they can get the form kick-started, Ashton United, and the lower half of the playoff places, and that's the playoffs?
Farsley dropped the last couple of weeks.
Who's coming out of the middle pack this one? Buxton?
Buxton or Stourbridge?
Lancaster?
We know
they're not consensus.
Only because we need to be. We are premature with this show.
Yeah, because we have to do it month by month.
This show is going to be a nonsense next month. It will change. I believe it will change dramatically. And if it hasn't changed dramatically, everything we said today will happen. And I can't see.
Is it going to change dramatically?
I think it will. I think there'll be changes. So many games coming thick and fast over the next four. If games are actually on,
yeah.
If no games are on, then it's the same.
It's 12 points. There's a potential 12 points there for somebody,
and that makes a huge, huge change to this division. And anyone can be a part of it. That's in the middle of the table this moment. Anyone can be a part of it. Even Hennessy.
There's a beautiful thing that's just happened.
Symmetry.
Yeah, I was just James. Going to say that as well. There's one team that everyone last week and the month before was champions going that late run, and that's Nantwich.
Absolutely. They've got games in hand.
They've got games in hand, but the games that they've played in hand so far, they've not made advantage of.
Not yet, no. But they're one of those sides who are capable. We've seen them over
they've
the last few seasons.
They've got Worthington away on Saturday.
All right, they'll lose that. But other than that, they've got half a chance. I wouldn't write them off just yet. Give it another month or two, but
is there?
They're a long way behind.
If we just talk about someone from mid-table,
they're nowhere near playoff contenders.
Can we just throw someone in who Swampy's actually just mentioned? Rob Smith at Hensford Town. Hensford Town this weekend are hosting Charlaine.
Rob Smith
has taken Hensford Town to promotion in the past.
Yeah,
it's.
Yeah, but
it's there, isn't it? They, like we said, 12 points this over the festive period.
Never go back, Ben.
He's doing a good job.
He's doing a good job, no question about it. But this, again, as we're working to, they've got to pick their away form up. Two wins and two draws from what 11 away games. It's bobbins. They need to sort themselves out away from home because they're doing great on their own turf at Keys Park, but.
Most informed team in the league.
They're a team at home that can beat Charlaine.
Yeah, they can beat anyone in the league at home. No question.
And it is a huge game for this weekend. That will be determining their season to a degree. They have struggled, as we know, severely the last 3 or 4 years. And
they've only been in it 2 seasons.
No, he means in the National
League.
As I say, Hennessy this season, up and down, trials and tribulations, had 3 or 4 seasons of it. If they beat Charlaine, that puts them in a very good position. And it makes other teams start to think.
Momentum's a strong thing, isn't it?
We've seen it with Jeremy Corbyn, haven't we?
Swampy, never mind making other teams think. It'll make Hennessy think that, actually, no, we're a decent unit here, we can do this. And if they buy into what the returning manager's saying, then yeah, there's no reason whatsoever. Like, they can't start to climb the table and have a late run like Workington have done.
Are we expecting Stourbridge to have this late run?
Absolutely.
Are we all expecting
it's
that?
It's going to be finishing up.
It depends on Christmas.
Hennessy would have been up there and know what it's like to be in divisions above.
The manager does, and the club does, whether the players do.
The club does, massively. I mean, they're set up for league football. There's no question about it. It's a cracking ground. It really is. And unfortunately, they're not where they want to be. I mean, everyone can't be up there. So, as we've talked about earlier on, embrace where you are. He's a manager that knows where they've been, knows where they can get to, so he's embraced it. So, therefore, he has a good opportunity. He's a good manager that can take them to the next level. Don't be surprised if they're not in the playoffs.
Stourbridge, speaking with West Midlands, Stourbridge. Yeah. How are they going to do it?
They're going to do it by winning loads of games and other teams losing them.
Thank you very much. And is there something to be said for Buxton? Because Buxton were in the playoffs last season and slipped out. Is there lessons to be learnt there?
Again, depends on their Christmas, I think. Because I'm looking at their fixture list.
We've got Stafford Rangers this weekend.
They've got very winnable games.
They have, but it's going to pile up for them as it does every single year. But games will be off until March at Sutherland's.
But that's what I mean. At the same time, if they can win the games now, which they can get on, and maintain that pace.
Yeah, you're right.
They've got a chance. If they don't, it's going to be a lot harder, and I think that's what cost them.
I think you're right, and I think the decision they've made as a football club is the right one for the 3G pitch for next season.
Watch them go.
That's when they could become a real. I think we talked about it maybe
earlier.
That's when they could be a real force, because so many games called off, and I mean, I was there on Saturday, you know, not at the game, but in Buxton, and you might as well have been in, I don't know, Switzerland. Yes. I mean, it was, you know, everywhere you walk, slipping, sliding, all over the place. They'll be relying on that new ground, that new pitch, to keep games on so they can play week in, week out. Because there's nothing more frustrating as a footballer, as a player, at a football club that you're not quite sure, to come to the winter months, how many games you're going to get to play.
I think the problem that they're going to have next season is players getting there. Because you know, but and other teams getting there, because Buxton can get completely cut off from the outside world with all the snow that they get.
Just to,
well, most teams have managed it for many, many years.
No. Buxton's
a, well, next year's going to be a really bad winter.
No, what I'm saying is,
are you Schaffernacker?
No. Swampy. What I'm saying is, it's going to be great for the local community because they'll be able to play on the pitch anytime, when it's going to bring revenue into the club all year round.
Like Hyde's approved.
Like Hyde's proven, yeah. It's great, but they're still not necessarily going to be able to get those mid-winter games on.
Of course they will. Will, Berkey.
Just saying.
Just one fixture which we've not really properly mentioned, and that's Grantham Town against Aston United this weekend.
Yes.
This has the potential here for either getting Grantham Town back on the straight and narrow, or putting Aston United slap bang in the middle of
it's
things.
Very, very similar game, Ben, this, to the Buxton one, in so much that Aston are better away from Hurst Cross than they are at home. And as I said before, Grantham, they're better away from home than they are at home. So
what happens if
I fancy if Aston Grantham a tight win for Aston?
Well, if Grantham go to Aston and Aston go to Grantham, and it's a one-all draw.
Imagine that.
Well,
that's the same situation as Aldringham Shore Lane, in my opinion.
Can I have your predictions now? I think I'm going to know your predictions.
What are we doing in the top five?
Who's going to, top five, please. I'm not going to say who's going to win the league because I think it's too close to call, isn't it?
All right. I do think Aldringham will win. I said that at the start of the season. I'm sticking to it. Shore Lane second, Warrington third. Fourth and fifth. That's just going to be... Oh, that's so tight, isn't it? I still think Stourbridge are going to sneak in there somehow. Whether it's fourth or fifth, I don't know. Then again, I think Workington are going to sneak in and Ashton are going to sneak in.
Well, that's not possible.
I know it isn't. I know. I've got to stick up for my local sides, though. So Ashton United, I'd love them to get in there. Absolutely would. Jody Banning's first full year in charge. That'd just be a brilliant, brilliant achievement.
So Ashton, Warrington, Shore Lane and
Altrincham to win it, and Stourbridge or Workington, I don't know which. Thanks. Grantham will miss out though because they'll lose too many games.
Swamper, top five, please.
It's not. You're not fair here at this stage of the season again.
No. It's the same question I asked you in August. It was fair in August. It's fair in December.
Yeah, because there was no games being played.
Yeah, but you've got 20 games now to go off.
That's even harder. It's easier with no games played. Altrincham, Shore Lane, Grantham, Workington, Stourbridge. Not in any particular order, but I think Altrincham will win the league. Right. But
and Warrington's injuries will catch up with them, you think?
And those are the teams just not falling off.
Warrington's injuries have already caught.
Yeah, they have. And they're coping really well. James,
right, obviously it's unfair to say the top five, so I'm going to go even more.
Yes.
Aggressive and say the champions. The championship will decide on the two Altrincham Shore Lane games. If one of them teams wins both of them, I think they've got a title.
It's aggressive, isn't it?
I've always said he's a very
however, if they end up as draws in both of them games, the title is wide open.
And before he finishes that, Ben,
yep.
What are your predictions?
I think.
Is this going in, Ben?
He has to go in. He can't just sit on the fence because he has an opinion.
He's still got a chance of his normal guess anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to say Buxton.
Right, so.
top five? Buxton, Matlock.
Well, at least he'll find a way to get promoted this season. Anyway, right.
That's what I call a liberal Democrat. Sit on the fence again. Not prepared to give it what he really thinks.
That's the top end of the table, and obviously, big disclaimer, Swamp is right. We're only 20 games in. We don't really know anything. We're just literally licking our finger and pointing in the air, aren't we? I'm not going to get your predictions for relegation.
Why not?
Because I think that's unfair.
Why is it unfair? You asked us for promotion.
Yeah, promotion's a celebration, whereas a relegation is...
If it was four, he'd be up for it, wouldn't
he? There's a few teams here who are chuffed to pieces. There's only one going down.
But the thing is, that one team that everyone was saying is going down a couple of months ago are now back in the game.
They're one point behind Sutton Coldfield Town, and now 1 point behind Stalybridge Celtic, despite having conceded 62 goals.
Yeah, and only 4 points behind Earls Owen, who've been on a downward spiral the last couple of months. Stalybridge still only 1 point from 30 on the travels.
Is there a danger with? I mean, we discussed it earlier about mindsets following relegations and stuff. I'm going to come to you as a Hyde United fan, Burke.
Oh, cheers.
Is there a danger we stay Liberty Celtic?
I think at the time they were actually just called Hyde FC.
No, we
no.
Actually, it was a mix. Yeah, it was Hyde FC and then Hyde United.
But that's the big question, though. Stalybridge Bridge Celtic, is there a danger? Because Sutton Coldfield, they've done this escape before.
Yeah, they have done it, and there is a danger for Stalybridge. Of course there is. They're okay at home. They had that absolute clangor of a result against Mickleover. They lost 5-0 at home. But apparently that was a game where they battered Mickleover. Mickleover had five chances and scored five goals. Just one of those things. I do believe Stalybridge will come away from it, but the confidence is shot to pieces. They had a few difficult seasons in the Conference North, National League North anyway. They finally succumbed to it last year, went down, a load of turmoil. While they are okay at Bowerfold, that's like a broken record. Away from home, they just can't get going. There's no confidence. I don't understand why there's such a big disparity between your home form and away form. You're the same team, you know, you just happen to be playing in, you know, some different stands. I don't understand it.
Have they got the right players in there? Have they got the right personnel? It would suggest not at this moment in time. They're too, and there's no too big a club to be where they are, but we know what we mean.
We've seen Stafford. I went to Hyde. I went to Berkey for the Hyde comparison, but there's obviously Stafford Rangers Drolsden.
Yeah, the thing about Hyde is Hyde have gone down, and rebuilt for 3 years, and they're up.
Can I just broaden this then to include Hales Owen in this? Because do we think Marine and Rushall and Nantwich and Whitby in the last fortnight have recruited well, it appears. Do we think it's going to be those three now battling it out?
You've been talking to managers.
I think with Marine, they've just got to convert the trophy form into league form, and they have done a little bit at this moment in time. Yeah, it's the same situation with Whitby at the moment, I think, as well. I mean, obviously, I'm going to bring them into this conversation now, because a lot of their players have left, and a lot of good players as well, and I think that's the confidence in them starting to zap away. Sorry to Andrew and Paul.
You said about Whitby. Whitby, over the next three games, they've got Grantham at home, they've got Farsley Celtic at home, and they've got Stourbridge away. It's not the easiest, is it?
Let's be honest.
But those three games, your fans would save their season.
It could save the season, or it could be... Yes, the opportunity for the other teams, because again, the likes of Rushall, I know we've gone off tangent a little bit here.
Rushall are away to Stalybridge on Saturday.
Yeah, that's been a crucial 6-pointer really on in the season. Yeah. But Rushall have been on good form recently, started picking up the wins, they pulled themselves away. Same with Marine, it's them bottom three that just can't see.
I think what's going to be really, really interesting, and that's why this division is so difficult to predict, because you've got travel, you've got teams that can afford to bring other players in. And it's so difficult. Sutton Coldfield, where they are, they've conceded 62 goals this season, they've scored 23
goals. But they're still
there,
aren't they?
Yep.
They're
still 1
there.
Point off.
Yep.
You know, and Stalybridge Celtic, and the likes of Hales Owen and Marine, and even Rushall and Whitby, Nantwich have the additional three games, but they're all involved in it.
I think this is where, when we're seeing the new season, we're going to see a lot more attacking football, because it's, again, one relegation spot. I think the mentality down the bottom end is starting to change a little bit.
We also said at the beginning of the season, this division, it's not about survival, it's about winning, staying up.
That's what I mean, it's starting to be showing that in the them bottom five teams now.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Whereas at the start of the season, it's like, it doesn't matter now straight away, not a problem. Them five teams are going to start looking into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mid-table teams, as soon as they're cut off, that's the key results from them.
There's going to be a fair few twists and turns before the end of the season, but we wish everyone well over the festive period. But that's the Premier Division. After this break, we're going to be talking about Division 1 North and Division 1 South.
Yes! Come on!
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome everyone to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester, North Stockport, for
the award-winning
MPL show. We never won an award. Don't know why. We keep not getting nominated.
We're working
really
on
annoys
it.
Me.
Who's not won? We've not won.
We've never been nominated for anything.
And why would you in the book I've got three?
Yeah.
Disgrace.
I know, I'm sorry. round three of
the
MPL show is going to be talking about Division 1. Berkey's here, Swamp is here, Teagot is here, and
everybody else is at a football match.
Let's talk about Division 1 South firstly. Is anyone going to stop Basford United?
It's going to be a tough ask at this moment in time, but we were talking before about goal scorers in the Premier, and we've been talking about all season. The race at the moment in both divisions is for second place, because Basford at this moment, but you're still an unbeatable.
Well, Basford have drawn three times.
Basford.
They've just never been beaten.
They're currently on the league at the moment, they're in a 20 match unbeaten streak. And
how much of an achievement is this? That, you know, I mean, everyone's been going on about City, but for Basford to be pulling out an unbeaten run,
remember, we can learn a lot from history here. A couple of years back, cast your minds back to the days when Jim Gannon was in charge at Northwich Victoria. They were flying away with it. No one was anywhere near them. I mean, Warrington were going well, but they were at Christmas about, what, the same distance, about 15 points behind. Absolutely flying. And then
the wheels came off though at Northwich. That's not going to happen at Basford.
Jim left. Well, he went to County.
Yeah, Basford have got a fantastic success.
Yeah, but what was Berkey's point though? That's the question I'm
not. Will someone... When a manager does well, it's the same with players. If players do well, the vultures start circling and they start picking them
off. If it was the case of one of automatically, valid point. But remember, there's two promoted, minimum of two going up, potentially three at this moment in time.
And they've not lost a game this season, either.
They've not lost a game. They aren't going to lose games, let's be realistic. They more likely than will do. The race at the moment in both North and South is for second place, I feel. And you look at the South, the big team that stood out in the last couple of weeks is Corby. They've come from absolutely nowhere to come back into this race. They were pretty much rock bottom at the start of the season. They changed the management. They've not lost since.
They're pressing on the top.
They are indeed so. But again, to go from second bottom to potentially promotion at this moment in time. And I think Corby, if there's any team that's going to really catch Basford at this moment, it's going to be Corby.
Our Church have got five games in hand.
They have. They have. On Corby, three on Basement.
Corby play a pressing game.
You've already had pressing. Yeah. Now you've got to do specific pressing companies. That's what you've got to do now.
They've been steaming other teams massively. Yeah.
This time last year in the South, you had Witton and Shaw Lane do about 10 points clear, end up being 25 points clear. So going back to him to repeat himself, you can't see Basement in a team where the league where two are going up, blowing opportunity.
No, but there'd be a lot of teams creasing up.
There will be.
Boom. Just to add, James is right about Alf Church and Corby Town. We have got a Division 1 show next week and we'll be speaking to John Dunham.
We'll be still doing this next week.
You're not, but you've got a Division 1 show.
You've got a week off. You said that's what we can't do next week, this week.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Of course you can.
They're both, what the dickens has happened to questions. The first one, what's happened to Cleethorpes? They went on that great unbeaten run at the start of the season. Now they've lost three. And Frickley,
they do have games in hand, don't they?
They do, but they've lost three games now, haven't they? Which suggests that there's a little malaise
thing is,
creeping in.
You're not looking at the league table properly. Look at second and ninth at this moment in time.
If you look at the playoff positions, you've got Stocksbridge, Parkshill, Stamford have come out of nowhere, haven't they, last month? And Bedworth United, they've put themselves back in there.
Go back to Stocksbridge. Stocksbridge this season have a goal scorer who scored 21, I think, for the season in Joe Lumsden.
Yeah, he's a new Jamie Vardy
striker.
He's 25 years of age. He has been there for two seasons now, and he's scoring goals. They're all from open play as well. Keep hold of him. He keeps scoring goals. They are going to be right up there this
thing
season.
Thing is, though, Alf Church have got four players like that at this moment in time. First, in September, four of the five top goal scorers were Alf Church players.
Frickley Athletic and Chase Town are also in the mix. Loughborough Dynamo.
Frickley Athletic are chasing Chase Town.
Yes, isn't that odd?
Chase Town.
But we will cover off Division 1 properly next week. But just to mention in the closing stages, Division 1 North, same question. Can anyone stop South Shields?
No.
A lot of people are starting to find out what South Shields are like. Prescott have done it. And who was the other team that beat them the other week? Was it Bamber?
No, they lost against Colwyn Bay.
That's there we go. But they're starting to show them cracks now, I feel. And again,
James, they've lost one game.
I know they've lost one game, but again,
Teagot, they're not starting to show any cracks. They've had the backup against the wall. They went to Mosley a few weeks ago, and
Rammy.
But the thing is,
that's it. And Rammy as well. They were losing them ones, and they came from behind and did the business basically. They can pull a result out when they need to. They've got that fight. I've nothing. Spirit.
I spoke to a few lads that play for Ramsbottom, and when they went down there, and it was a tight encounter. And the comments were, it was as if they had about four or five of the gears, and they could have stepped up to it and done it, and they could have beat us by a huge amount.
Yeah.
They worked hard, Ramsbottom, that night, but they weren't on the same part. What I will say is, I am very surprised that the gap is so short at this season.
Is that all credit to Renault at
Bamber Bridge? Prescott and Hyde, I think, to be where they are,
they'll
now
win them closer
is
than
absolutely
people
outstanding. I think if Hyde well, obviously have got one game against South Shields more than, but I mean Hyde could be, you know,
we've got to play twice.
Yeah.
But the same token, I've got to say, I think I would have thought, and it's nigh on impossible to do so, but I mean, Tommy and Cheek to agree, but I thought they'd be that far away, South Shields would have been a country mile.
Yeah, I think you said they were going to win it by 10 points.
Swamping. The thing is, they could only be 4 points further on if they won every game. So it's just the other teams.
I didn't realise at that time when I said that, I didn't realise the mathematics.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
But that's going back to what we're saying.
On a points per game basis, Hyde United are the closest team to them. They've got 36 points, even though we're in fourth place. They've got games now on the teams in second and third. Decent draw against, in fact, a very good draw against Prescott Cables.
They're doing a fantastic job.
I was going to say they haven't. You were going to say they've come from nowhere, but they haven't, have they? Because we started
they were my dark horses. I've said that on the August show.
One team who has, I do think they're doing really well, is Drolsden.
Yeah, absolutely. They've come on leaps and bounds in the last couple of months. I'm not exactly sure what's happened other than they've signed Sefton Gonzalez, and it just all seems to have.
What about Scarborough? Scarborough's an interesting one because they've had some big purchases in the last, and experienced purchases as well, the likes of Noel
James Walsh.
James Walshaw and
Walshaw and
Thingy from Brad Noel.
They've got
Park Avenue.
Michael Coulson there on the wing, who's been absolutely
is that a clever thing what Steve Kitchick's done there by getting in that level of experience at this stage of the season?
See why?
But he got rid of a lot of fringe players to free up the budget to bring him in. He knew what he needed there. He needed Walshaw's not necessarily the big bustling striker. He puts himself about, but he's smart, isn't he? That's the thing. And if he can
set pieces, superb.
That's how he was top. Again, he was top goal scorer in the Premier off set pieces alone. Yeah. Let's be honest. Scarborough's next two games.
Well,
Hyde,
got Hyde away
and South Shields.
But at the same time, Hyde, they've got South Shields coming up. They've got Bamber Bridge coming up. They've got Scarborough coming up. They've got Drolsden coming up. They've got all the teams.
This is where South Shields again can prove if they're going to win the league by 10-20 points.
They are going to.
They're going to win the league, but this is going to decide how much they'll win it by, I think. Because if Hyde and Scarborough can up the game and get points of it,
it doesn't matter how much they win the league by. They're going to win the league. People are fighting for second place, and Hyde are convinced they'll finish second. No doubt about it. Bamber Bridge, they're convinced they'll finish second, and Scarborough, they're convinced they will as well. Pacey, he don't care about that. He just wants to get promoted. He'll take it through the playoffs. And the thing with Drolsden is, they play some lovely football. And even through them getting relegated over the, a couple of years ago and all that, when they didn't have a penny to rub together or anything like that, Dave Pace didn't compromise on the style of football
they
played. Though he didn't have the players.
Never has, always played a certain way.
Yeah.
And all that bombshell.
Yeah. That is the end of this festive edition of the Evo Stick and PL Show. Oh, you want to mention Radcliffe? Go on, James.
No, I wasn't going to mention.
Oh, can we mention Glossop then?
No, I wasn't going to mention Radcliffe. I was going to mention something else because as the time of this going out on the show, there's only going to be a couple of hours left to vote for your top 100 players. Get your votes in now.
evostickleague.co.uk.
Yeah, and the goalkeeper, it's close all over, but the goalkeeper's one in particular is about 9 players for the 2 spots.
Well, anyway, the heroes of the NPL show have been round the table tonight. It doesn't matter about the glamour Hollywood ties that are taking place elsewhere. They've come down. So a big thank you to Mr. Broadcasting Legend, Ian Burke. Sure, he says on his LinkedIn page. Yeah, go on.
Thank you, Ben. It's been a pleasure. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas to one and all. I hope you have a lovely festive period and may Santa bring you all 6 points and all that kind of stuff.
Swampy from the Non-League Show and SC Radio, big thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you, Benjamin. Thank you, guys. It's been very, very enjoyable. And regardless of what we've said at the beginning of the season, now mid-season.
We're wrong anyway.
We've probably always been wrong. But we do it with our love and passion.
I'll try to remember this list.
We don't do it with any malice or hatred to any football club. We're just saying what we think.
We
don't get to see every other football, every game this weekend. We don't get to see the analysis of every game. We have to read up about it and listen and talk to other people. If we get it wrong, well, we get it wrong. But if we get it right, God, I feel good.
And James Hayes. James, a big thank you for coming on the show. Well done for all the 50 year celebration stuff, cracking stuff.
I can't wait to postpone all the games this weekend.
Oh, mind you.
No joke.
With his grey hair now, he might as well have been there.
He looks cracking.
It's lovely, isn't it? I like it, actually.
But from everyone here at the Heating Hops, a big thank you as well to Damien and everyone at the Heating Hops for hosting us this year.
Yes. First of all, let's thank you, Ben.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, we should do that.
Don't.
I mean, have you got that cake?
Got me a cake?
No.
No, we got you
a big thank you to you, dear listener, as well, for joining us over the last 12 months. But from everyone here, have a lovely Christmas, and we'll be seeing you next week for the Division 1 show. Happy Christmas.
We got a week off.